This person asks, are there any precautions or safeguards I should be taking as I sense the tenderness of my heart opening? There are many dangers in this world. Indeed, there are many dangers in this world. And yes, becoming overly sensitive and heedlessly vulnerable is dangerous. So is closing our hearts and becoming insensitive as a way of avoiding vulnerability, dangerous. In this case, it's obvious you're referring to rediscovering the utter normality and appropriateness of living with the open-hearted state. As for safeguards and perhaps precautions you might take, then I would encourage assuming the disposition of a parent, using the example that the Buddha gave in the Karaniya Metta Sutta of a mother with her only child, that protecting, caring attitude, and as it says in the sutta, she would protect with her life her only child because of that intense care, and likewise that tenderness, that vulnerability that you may be feeling, yes, protecting it with a great deal of care and concern as a parent would. And understanding that this is not some special state in particular, this is the state of normality that we lost as we grew up, because at various stages of life where we felt challenged and overwhelmed, we closed down and we learnt to deny our native sensitivity. Now, as an adult, you don't want to deny your native sensitivity. Also, you don't want to be naively vulnerable. So the task is how to honour that native sensitivity, stay open, stay available for life without becoming lost. Life is going to hurt, whatever we do. Even the Buddha had pain. As that incident in the scriptures reports, the Buddha sitting on Vulture's Peak, sunning his back in the morning. Presumably he had arthritis, that's painful. The Buddha, however, learnt to feel what he feels without adding anything extra to it, without adding clinging and turning the natural pain of life into suffering. So that's our task. Again, how to honour our native sensitivity that we were born with, at the same time as according with the many experiences that we encounter in our lives. The parents you had didn't see how tender you were and how vulnerable you were feeling at a certain age and how hurt you were becoming. They didn't realize. It wasn't necessarily because they were bad or particularly negligent. It's just the life of unawareness. Unawakened parents don't necessarily get their children as hard as they might try. The state of unawareness means that we're acutely obstructed. So now, being your own good, caring parent, adopt the attitude of protecting yourself, learning to honour the sensitivity, not indulging in it and becoming hypersensitive, not denying it and triggering the contracted heart, staying sensitive, as well as remembering now the teachings that we have from the Four Noble Truths, that when pain arises, it's clinging that turns it into suffering. Pain is natural. Ugly sights, unpleasant sounds, painful sensations, painful thoughts, painful feelings, these are all natural. The clinging is something extra that we're doing, and it's understandable as children. We didn't know that, and nobody told us about it. There's another tendency which we need to protect ourselves against, and that's the inclination to indulge in the pleasure that comes with the open-hearted state. The open-hearted state is like falling in love, although if you fall into it, that means you become lost in it. Feeling the capacity for being loving, that's beautiful. It takes a disciplined attention, though, to be able to feel that, stay open, without indulging in the pleasant feelings. Just the same as with painful feelings. If you feel seriously indignant because somebody expressed a view that contradicts your view and you get enraged, feeling the pain of disappointment maybe at hearing somebody who you thought was a friend express a different view to yours, that's one thing. But clinging to that pain and indulging in that pain and becoming indignant, that's really regrettable, that's embarrassing, that's righteous indignation, and ruins friendships, damages society, damages our world. So indulging is one extreme, denying is the other extreme. As we know, the Buddha's first teaching on the turning of the wheel of the law, the Dhammacakka Sutta, indulging in pleasure is one extreme, ignoring or avoiding is another extreme. Then to pay attention to the principle of the middle way, that's the possibility of exercising embodied mindfulness and intentional composure, or what in Pali is called Indriya Samvara, that sense of restraint to hold the experience without becoming lost in it, whether it's positive or negative. So that's a danger we want to safeguard against happening, indulging or denying. Indulging on the one hand of the pleasant sensations that arise in association with being loving, being open-hearted, and denying when it's negative or painful. Another aspect of this that's worth reflecting on is the tendency to fall into projection when the open-hearted state gets triggered. What is it that triggers it? For some people, it might be being on a meditation retreat. And then after the retreat, they go back to living in the city where all the noises and the sounds and the smells are so intense, and the people that maybe they're surrounded by don't appreciate their open-hearted state. And so the heart contraction happens and insensitivity follows. And the feeling that, oh, I've got to go on another retreat. That's the way to experience this beautiful feeling. Or maybe it's for people of other religions, it's chanting bhajans or worshipping Krishna. Whether it's Jesus Christ or Krishna or Kuan Yin, these are all triggers for releasing the heart contraction and giving it access to the open-hearted state. The risk is that people project onto the triggers. Or maybe it's surfing or hang gliding or being on a walk in the wilderness. The risk is, instead of bringing embodied mindfulness to this beautiful state and appreciating it and exercising conscious composure, we project out onto the trigger. And then we start worshipping the triggers. This native sensitivity is perfectly natural. It's our relationship to it that turns it into something special. You see the way that adults sometimes relate to children when they see children giggling or playing, and then the parents talk about how amazing and how wonderful the children are. Maybe it's the case that the children are just not obstructed like us, and that we need to remember our task is how to address the obstructions, not to idolize or romanticize the state of normality. If we fall into idolizing, well, then we're on the path to becoming a fundamentalist. And that happens. And as you may know, when you meet a fundamentalist, there's no way you can convince them out of their belief, because they're clinging to the idea that this trigger is needed for them to feel this amazing, this wonderful, wonderful feeling. And that's really sad. They lose their rational faculties. So our job is how to keep our rational faculties and maintain the capacity for trusting the open-hearted state. And that's probably going to involve a degree of tension. There's nothing wrong with tension, unless, again, we get lost in the pain associated with tension. It's like doing exercises, there's going to be some tension. Doing Qigong, there's going to be some tension. Doing yoga, there's going to be some tension. Sometimes in relationships and conversations we have, there's going to be tension. The thing is how to stay open and sensitive and rightly aligned. Our head, our heart, our belly. How to stay rightly aligned whilst we're experiencing the tension which is inevitable in life. Maybe it's helpful also if I explain for other people who are listening to this Q&A session besides the person who asked the question, that this and some of the other questions that I've responded to came as a result of a conversation I was having with somebody about the open-hearted state and open-hearted awareness, in which I said, you could maybe ask a question about that and I could address it on this new website that I'm doing. So helpfully they did send me a question. They also sent me 24 other questions. So I have 24, 25 or 26 questions on the open-hearted state, open-hearted awareness. Thank you for those questions, and I do hope it's helpful.